when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast was presented by Horticulture Week in partnership with Stars for Europe. To find out more about how you could produce a podcast with Horticulture Week, please go to horticultureweek.co.uk/podcasts.
Hello, I'm Matthew Appleby, and today I'm speaking to Graham Edwards from Woodlark Nurseries in Surrey about poinsettias as part of the Stars for Europe marketing campaign for the Christmas seasonal plant. The UK grown market is about 4 million plants annually, mostly from cuttings from nurseries such as Duman, Selector One, Beacon Camp and Syngenta, who, with MNP, support Stars for Europe's annual initiative. So, Graham, what's the poinsettia market looking like this year?
Well, I would say the poinsettia market's looking fairly static this year in comparison to previous years. That's ourselves particularly. We're growing about the same amount that we have done for the past few years, and we don't really see that changing. But it's all about really if we get some good weather. So people go and visit the garden centres, and then that will really decide what the demand's like. But we don't really know that until we get into the season. So fingers crossed it's good. But on sort of pre-orders, it's the same as usual.
Great. And you've got an early season crop, haven't you?
Yes. Well, we've been doing an early season crop of the poinsettia, which is bred by MNP, and it comes in, it's slightly smaller than your standard poinsettia with smaller bracts, a little bit more quaint and pretty, and it comes in various colours of pinks and quite a nice pure white colour. So they don't have the sort of classic Christmassy red, so it lends itself to trying to gain sales elsewhere in the year, maybe not so much the Christmas market, and we'd grow that for garden centre customers who want to sort of extend their poinsettia season forwards as much as possible. And this year's been fairly successful so far in that we start those in at the start of October.
Brilliant. All right. And where else do you get your cuttings from?
We use Selector, that's probably our main supplier, and closely followed by Duman Orange, both from Germany. And we also use a little bit from Syngenta as well for a few special colours that no one else in the market can provide us with. So that's our three main suppliers.
So, Graham, just looking at the market more generally, why do you think poinsettias remain so popular?
That's a very good question. I think it's because, firstly, they're a lovely red colour, which is synonymous with Christmas, and they actually make a great indoor living decoration for people's houses, which is bright and vibrant compared to lots of house plants, which are sort of foliage and greenery. And I suppose now, like I said, they're getting synonymous with Christmas. So I think people, as they sort of buy a Christmas tree, they also want a poinsettia or a few poinsettias. And they're pretty good as gifts as well. So for those reasons, I think poinsettias are fairly popular. And also, they're quite accessible for people to buy as well. I mean, they're relatively cheap. You can get cheaper ones in sort of bigger supermarket stores. And then even the more sort of premiumly priced ones at garden centres are not particularly expensive, really, when it comes to the amount of money people spend for Christmas. So for all those reasons, really, they're very Christmassy and relatively cheap for people to buy.
That brings me to asking about how do you differentiate your crop for garden centre market against the cheap supermarket crop?
Yeah, that's something we've been sort of working hard to do, because obviously that our plants, or not just our plants, but plants sold in garden centres will always be more expensive than those in supermarkets, and we're never going to get away from that. So what we try and do is produce a bigger plant, basically, which is has more heads on it, more bracts on it, is slightly taller and a lot rounder. So basically, you get it more for your money. Another big thing I would say that we always like to think that our quality is a lot better than those in supermarkets, but I know supermarket growers and their plants are growing really well. So I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say our transport system, it goes straight from our greenhouses onto our own transport to the garden centres, and we only deliver to the southeast. So it has a very short time in the supply chain. So that massively helps the quality. So that's another, that's how we differentiate. Maybe not an obvious thing. So it's a bigger, chunkier plant, which gives people more for their money, and also fresher, basically. So in that way, better quality.
So you deliver to the southeast. Who are your main customers?
Our main customer is the Squires Group, who we're very proud to supply. We've been supplying them for many, many years. We also supply lots of independents in the southeast, such as Garson Farm, Chessington Garden Centre. Who else do we do? I'm probably missing loads now. The Grovewell Group in Kent.
They're new, aren't they, with you?
Yeah, they're relatively new with us. I think mainly because, again, we can offer smaller volumes of deliveries with our other plants that we supply, so it sort of suits. They don't want to buy too much at a time to keep their poinsettias fresh, so I think that's why we've sort of picked up their business as well. So yeah, lots of independents as well in the southeast.
Yeah, so do you have new varieties or colors available, as well as the very popular red?
Yeah, as you say, red's the most popular by a long, long way, but we do a lot of colours. I don't want to say we specialise in colours, but one new one, which actually was out last year as well, is called Alaska White, which is by far the best white that's on the poinsettia market at the moment, because they always used to be a bit creamy or a bit lime coloured, so we never really used to have a proper white. But since this Alaska's come onto the market, that sort of increased sales and changed the game there, because it's an actual pure white. And that's quite a popular colour when it comes to Christmas, with people sort of decorating themes and all that sort of stuff. So that's a big new one that's actually made a big difference in the market. We also do one called Autumn Leaves, which is sort of like an orangey, like a, but sort of not orange, more of an autumnal colour, which is fairly new. That one's from Dooman, which is a nice colour. And there is, we do Cortez Orange and Burgundy, which are very unique, but nothing new to the market. But we're trying a new fully orange one from Selecta this year. So we'll see how that goes. And then we've got one from Selecta as well called Christmas Mouse, which has a round bract, which is different. I'm not sure if it's for everyone's taste, but that's different as well.
Like a mouse's ears.
Yeah, that's it. That's where it comes from. Christmas Mouse, it's called. So there's a few new. There's always new bits and bobs coming through. But I think the Alaska one's the one in most recent times which has really made an impact.
Now, there's a few technical challenges around growing poinsettias. And I know you had some meetings earlier this year with the BPOA and various other groups. So can you tell us a little bit about that area?
Yeah, sure. We work, the BPOA has a sort of a poinsettia group within the BPOA, and we always have yearly meetings and work quite hard with the AHDB in making sure that any problems that poinsettia growers get looked into, basically, and we can make sure that we've got the right tools to overcome any problems that we may run into or have run into in the past. There's been a lot of work done on growth regulators of poinsettias. That's Cycocel, a growth regulator that was used previously, is now, we've now lost it, it's gone off the market. So BPOA and the AHDB done a lot of work looking at other growth regulators that can do the same job. Growers do use growth regulators to make sure the crop looks really perfect. So that was very important work, and there was a few new products came out of that which growers can now use confidently knowing that it's been tested. We always do a variety trial every year to look at new varieties coming onto the market, and that's so growers can have sort of a first look at any varieties before trying it themselves, so they don't waste the time themselves. And unfortunately, that's going on in a smaller form this year because of we can't have too many face-to-face meetings, but that's always interesting. And the BPOA and AHDB and the growers within that have been meeting up with plant health to overcome any problems that growers have with Bemisia tobacco whitefly, which is a notifiable pest and can be found on poinsettias. So talks are sort of ongoing there, and we need to come to a workable agreement between plant health and the growers, so we can so people can commercially grow poinsettias in this country without having to worry too much about any problems they might have with that. So that's sort of what the AHDB and BPOA have been doing in a nutshell for the last few years. We've also done a lot of work with growing poinsettias under water deficit, so by not watering them very much to try and control growth instead of using chemicals, growth regulators. And that's been proven to be fairly successful. And I think a few people are starting to take that new way of growing up. But it's just the start of that sort of new way of growing, really. So, yeah, there's tons of work is done on the technical side of poinsettias in the UK by the BPOA and the AHDB. So that's in a nutshell what's been going on there.
Just looking at Bemisia again, how much of an issue is it this year compared to previous years? And what would you like it to happen with Bemisia legislatively in the UK?
That's a good question. I think last year was a bad year for Bemisia. And a bad year for sort of controlling Bemisia. But this year I haven't really heard, I don't think it's been as bad or not really a problem. And going forward, I think we need to, the growers and plant health need to sort of come to an agreement, because we are a protected zone, which means there's officially sort of zero tolerance on Bemisia. So that's it's a tricky one there, because we do want zero tolerance, or the plant health want zero tolerance. We're also being pushed to go to use sort of more biological controls, which in their nature need a little bit of the pest to work, basically. So that's difficult to get zero tolerance or full control with biologicals. So I think there has to be a bit of an understanding from plant health that if a UK grower has a little bit of Bemisia, because you've got to understand that poinsettias are grown in protected environments, so there's a very low chance of the Bemisia actually getting out into the environment from a poinsettia glasshouse. And also the poinsettias go into people's homes and then they basically get chucked away. They don't go into the garden, and it's obviously cold at Christmas time, so there's very little chance of Bemisia getting out into the wild, if you like, and getting established. So I think the plant health, it'd be nice to get to a stage where they understand that if a grower has a little bit of Bemisia, but is showing that he is controlling that and chucks a few plants away and is shown to be sort of have it under control, that's okay, and he doesn't have to throw his whole crop away. That's what I'd like to see. And another thing to understand is that, and I think plant health do understand that, where it's just in the, I don't want to make it out like they're really like bad people and they're trying to chuck lots of poinsettias away, because they're not. We just need to come to a work closer together. Also, you've got to think about and understand that plant health, and I think the UK as a whole is a lot more biosecure if we, say, grew all the poinsettias in the UK, because plant health can come round and sort of check all the poinsettias when they're in the greenhouses, and they'd have good knowledge of if there is any pests. Whereas if we're buying tons in from Holland or anywhere else in Europe, which they don't have as tight controls on Bemisia, then these are coming in the backs of lorries, and they're much harder to for plant health to fully like check for Bemisia. So I think it's a lot safer for the UK to sort of, from a biosecurity point of view, to grow as many poinsettias as we can, and that's why the growers, the BPOA, the HTB, and plant health have got to sort of come to an agreement whereby if growers are keeping it under control, and if it's really low levels, it's not the end of the world, because it's really not. So that's probably quite long-winded, but that would be good.
Well, that's a really good insight, I think, into UK poinsettia growing from an expert grower. But now, I just wanted to ask you, Graham, about how have you coped with all the challenges of 2020, which bedding growers have had, and what are the prospects for 2021?
It's obviously been a difficult year, because all our garden centre customers, which is pretty much all of our customers, were closed for a certain period of time. So we felt very, very nervous, and we were fearing the worst, were the worst at that time. Fortunately, we've done quite well doing online sales, which helped us through. And then the garden centres opened sort of in just about in time to sort of salvage enough sales from the year to get through. So that's difficult, and it's not going to be a good year, but at least we're still here. And I think that's probably the same for most people. Going forward, I think that judging from our sort of pre-orders from garden centres, and we've had really strong pre-orders for next year, I gather that's because they want to secure stock after this year. Also because of the whole Brexit thing and tariffs and stuff like that. They're a sort of the supply from Europe, they're expecting maybe worse than usual. So I think it could be a good year next year for British growers, mainly because I think more garden centres will be buying British plants, and they're trying to wean themselves off their reliance on supply from Europe. So as long as the garden centres for us don't get shut down, then I think it could be it's looking like it could be a more normal and have a year and we'll have quite a bit of demand for our products. But of course, I think the most important thing, if it's raining through April, May and June, it's going to be a bad year, and if it's sunny, it'll be a good year. And we're never going to get away from that, unfortunately.
No, indeed. Well, great. I'm glad it's gone okay in 2020 and things are looking a bit brighter for 2021. And thanks very much, Graeme Edwards from Woodlark Nurseries, for all your insights into the poinsettia market this year. And this is me, Matthew Appleby, at the Horticulture Week podcast. And you can listen to it at hortweek.com. Thank you and goodbye.
This Horticulture Week podcast was produced and edited by Christina Taylor. For more podcasts, Horticulture Week news, analysis, exclusive industry reports, insight and data, go to horticultureweek.co.uk.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. YahooFinance.com.